6-1-3 Wrestling. With your hosts, Kyle Joseph and Mark Cote.
Hey everyone, I'm Kyle.
My name's Mark.
And you're listening to 613 Wrestling, the podcast by fans, for fans, wherever you listen to your podcasts.
For fans.
Thank you very much for joining us today. On today's show, we are going to go through our highs and lows. We will go through our F5, and we will cover Fastlane in our preview show, which is coming up this Sunday, March the 10th, at Cleveland, Ohio. Should be interesting. It's the final pay-per-view leading up to WrestleMania. We still have lots of questions even after this, so we'll see how this goes.
Lots of unanswered questions before the road to WrestleMania.
Yeah, but it'll be a great show for you guys today. So up first is our highs and lows. Mark, what's a high for you this week?
High for me, you know, Samoa Joe becoming the U.S. champion. That was cool. It was unexpected. Which, number one, I love. But at the same time, it's finally cool to see, you know, after being injured a few times, seeing finally Samoa being back in a consistent fashion. Yes, he might not have the biggest win-loss record of all time, especially over the last year, but, you know, going through, even though he went through several title challenges against AJ Styles, it didn't hurt his brand. And I think that goes a long way in a talent. So to see him become the U.S. champion, very unexpected, but super cool. You know, his first, like, main roster WWE championship. And I think Samoa has been in the game for a long time. But at the same time, I'm so proud, even though, yes, I know, people can knock, oh, it's only the U.S. title. You know, but at the same time, hey, it's a big deal. You know, and I'm sure it's a big deal to him. And I'm really excited to see where he goes with this and what he does with it. Because I think he can do great things.
All right, my first high of the week is the promo done by the Usos. You know, they came out as champions, had a very solid promo. You really felt the attitude that they've always carried.
Yep.
It kind of reminded us that they are the top of the top. And obviously, as we'll talk about in our Fastlane preview, you know, they have the match with Shane and The Miz. And so I think that there's definitely some bringing back the old Uso Penitentiary and what it actually means. And I just thought it was just a really solid promo that I find doesn't happen often anymore.
Nope.
In that you just get them out there and they just do the talking and it's very straightforward and straight to the point.
No, I totally agree. And, you know, even though they're always a very hyped team, you felt the passion in this one. You know, you felt the get up and go and the, you know, what is it that we want to do, you know, from here. And, you know, even though, yes, it's, you know, like, yes, hey, we're out here on Raw, you know, SmackDown, you know, we're going to talk a little smack and we're going to challenge you for the titles. We're going to defend our titles, and has kind of been how it's been a little bit. And, you know, Usos are one of the best tag teams, not just in WWE, but the world, but also they're great on the mic and they utilized everything. Gave me goosebumps, made me super hyped about this match, which especially too, not that hyped about the match. You know, we'll go into more detail later when we actually break down the Fastlane event. But, you know, Miz and Shane has kind of been its own side thing. But we'll go from there. But no, definitely agree. Usos are on fire this week.
Did you have any other highs this week?
So for me, this one was very conflicting. I'll say my high, and so I will say it and then explain it. So a high for me was Ronda Rousey. In the aspect of how WWE is allowing her to, you know, really go forth and embracing what seemingly has automatically become a heel. You know, last couple of weeks you've been seeing, you know, the whole Ronda, Charlotte, Becky piece where, you know, a year ago we were talking about how Ronda was the hardcore fans' darling. You know, and then now Becky is the hardcore fans' darling, and they're booing Ronda, and Ronda hasn't changed or done anything differently. She's still been a badass, she's still been hardcore, and impressing everyone in the ring for her only first, you know, year and a half in the industry. But the fact that, you know, I loved it. I actually was like staring at the screen when all of a sudden she grabbed the mic, elbow high in the air, just ripping a quick promo. She, you know, she hit it right on the nail, no stuttering, no slippering, slammed the mic on the ground, and then just picked off Becky Lynch and continued to go at her. And I thought, finally, we wanted to see this a long time ago. You know, is this kind of like her, I don't want to say maybe she's turning into a heel, but heel tendencies. And she's embracing the fact that the crowd's booing her. I have money. I don't need this place. You need me as the champion. You know, talking trash on social media, talking trash in videos about WWE. Like, just literally having this, like, I made my money. I can beat everyone up. Like, just... like, this is nothing. Like, I've been the baddest woman on the planet for a long time. Like, that's what I felt this past week. So that was a high for me, because what started to stay for something that I'm still very confused in, this whole storyline, the three-way, how we've started and where we are now, and it's been so confusing and nonsensical, but that hyped me up to go, show me more. So I'm very excited to see a little bit more about that. Did you have any more highs?
Yeah, so speaking of, you know, this... situation, it's the use of social media that WWE's been doing in this feud with Becky and Ronda, and recently Batista and Triple H using Instagram. I just find that it offers another avenue.
Right.
Clearly, it offers some creativity. It allows them to push the boundaries without ruining the PG feeling of the product.
Right.
Because kids aren't necessarily on Twitter. You know, Becky Lynch was at a UFC event and she was wearing an Io Irani t-shirt. You know, all those types of things, it just helps push the story along. I wish, the only issue I wish is that they moved towards this direction on TV as well, with Ronda right. and Becky going back and forth. But there's been some real classic stuff that even the wrestlers in the industry are talking about, which is what you want. And so I just think, all in all, it's been a very good use of an extra medium to get your stories across without shoving it down your throat every week on television.
No, 110%. You know, it's, you know, especially too, I'd be... And if I don't know if they're still, but I know Becky Lynch was dating a UFC fighter.
Not anymore.
Sorry, not a UFC fighter, but a mixed martial artist.
No, UFC.
Was it UFC?
Yeah, I know, not anymore.
Jeff Dye, but not anymore. But I think it's almost like it's the fact that she has a little bit into that world. It'd be nice to, not saying that Becky Lynch does, you know, MMA, but it'd be very interesting to kind of talk about how she knows that world and she can relate to the world slightly. But no, I think it's been great. And once again, you know, there's always an ending, and I think we're coming to the end very soon, within the next several weeks. You know, when we get to WrestleMania, Fastlane's coming. They need to start speeding up some stuff here. You know, it's because I almost feel this can be a WrestleMania that you don't need to rely on all your big stars, like The Rock, to be there. Like, I don't think The Undertaker's going to be there this year. You know, Shawn Michaels and, you know, Stone Cold and Mick Foley and you know, I just think that, you know, you have the opportunity to have a WrestleMania full of brand new talent, up and coming talent, and there's so much of it that I really hope that the road, when we get there, we can look back and go, this made sense. You know, we are here, and you know, I'm excited for all these matches, and I have a little bit of an understanding of why we're here and what we're gonna do. So all right, so that was your last high.
Yep.
What's your first low?
Well, first and only low.
First and only low.
Because right? Some of it we'll go into as we talk about the upcoming review. It's just the Lacey Evans stuff. It just gets on my nerves. It breaks up storylines and it breaks up momentum all at the wrong spots. She's talented in the ring. She offers a different perspective in the ring. We're not seeing it. I don't know if it's because she's overcoming an injury. You know, it's got a little bit of Lars Sullivan feel. Now, Lars Sullivan is a little bit different because he actually had it was reported today that he was dealing with some
mental health issues. Right.
Which is why he hasn't come in, which is fine. But this is just like, it's getting to the point where it's obnoxious. What I want, at the very least, is just somebody, when she comes out, to clock her.
That'd be great.
But that's a way of getting her into a story.
Yeah.
But there's still nothing. Like, every week, and it's the problem, too, is it's not once a week. It's twice a week.
Yes.
Both on Raw and on SmackDown, yep. Because they haven't decided where she's going to go.
Yep.
They still have her come out and do the same thing. She walks farther and farther down the ring. which wastes more time, and her entrance music isn't like a pop. Like, the crowd's not going to pop for it. It's kind of an old school thing, but it's just getting into annoying.
And it's like you're hearing a pop song on the radio.
Yeah, yeah. As opposed to like the glass breaking or that Kevin Owens opening or even
Becky Lynch's.
Yeah, like, whatever it is, it doesn't get that reaction. It just becomes annoying. And I just want something to happen to her or stop showing up because it's just annoying to me. And that's all I can say.
And especially, too, it's funny. Someone put on Twitter, I can't remember who, and I was trying to find it, but someone really put out a good point on, and maybe it's like, it feels correct to me, but, you know, out of months of build for all of these individuals, yes, Lars seemingly has a good reason to, you know, if, you know, we heard about it being anxiety and, you know, if it is mental health, you know, like definitely hope he gets better. And that makes sense, you know, doesn't make sense that he has mental health issues, but that could prevent him from being able to, get to the main roster. But you talked also about, you know, Lacey Evans, EC3, Nikki Cross, Heavy Machinery, you know, and it's funny, someone put on Heavy Machinery and all of these months of buildup, and I think it was since November, December, so we're quite a few months now. It has been, Heavy Machinery has only had 4 matches, EC3 has only had 2 matches, Lacey Evans has had 0 matches. She hasn't wrestled at all on the main roster, which is insane. Like, what are you waiting for? Like, it makes zero sense, you know, unless for whatever reason the, you know, the time where she, you know, comes back and comes up or her when she has her first match, it means something. But yeah, I'm trying to find that tweet right now. Sorry, guys. Give me a quick second. Nope, can't find it. But no, and I think, yeah, so that just goes to show, you know, and I know they kind of wanted to play around back and forth with the whole, you know, like let them be on both Raw and SmackDown.
But it's almost time now to start getting there.
Right.
Right? Like, right. Enough is enough.
Right.
Now, we don't want to wait until the Monday after WrestleMania for you to decide.
Right.
This isn't going on long enough.
Right. I think they just need to determine that, you know, whoever wins this match, you're going to be on this one. You get to choose and kind of just go from there. But no, so going into one of my lows. So, and once again, I don't mean this in a low as in like the individual's a low, but, you know, Tommaso Ciampa's injury. It was announced that he is dealing with an injury that he will need to take a good little amount of time off for. And, you know, and rehab and have surgery. I believe it's on his neck. I didn't really see exactly what the injury was, but it's very unfortunate. You know, he's dealt with knee injuries before. He came back. He's had a crazy run as the NXT champion. Now he just debuted on the main roster and now he's going to be out. And, you know, so lots of unanswered questions that we're going to have to see. What does that do for Johnny Gargano? What does that do for DIY? You know, what does that do for the NXT championship? You know, seemingly if this is the case, I don't want to say it's a good thing because it's never a good thing when a talent gets injured, but, you know, the takeover before WrestleMania vacated NXT championship, you know, so that can definitely be an exciting part that they can do to it. But no, it really sucks, you know, to see him on such a rise and now it's kind of stifled because we have seen that the WWE main roster fans aren't always forgiving. When someone comes, hey, and then they go, and then they're back, and it's like, oh, yeah, you're back. Kind of saw you already. You know, it's not your first time coming on the main roster. You know, happened to the Revival. It's happened to many, many people, so. And then one of my other lows was the Revival and how they're being used. You know, we spent several weeks having the Revival, you know, go after Roode and Gable for the Raw Tag Team Championships. And then, you know, to finally win, and now it's their time. It's their time to be the dominant tag team. It's their time to go around and defend and be a strong tag team and be put over and over and be top guys. And now all of a sudden these new NXT call-ups are coming in and they're losing cleanly losing all of the time against DIY, Aleister Black and Ricochet and everyone else. So, you know, once again, it goes back to my Bray Wyatt theory. You know, Bray Wyatt should be the person that should be put over, not putting people over. And that's what it ended up becoming. Dolph Ziggler, hot, one of the best wrestlers in the world, you know, instead of him being put over, he was putting everyone else over. New talent and hot talent shouldn't be the ones going under. They should be the ones going over and being put over. So, but no, those are the lows for me this week. Anything else on your list, highs or lows?
Nope, that's it.
All right.
So I guess coming up next will be our Fastlane preview.
Yep, do a little, we'll break down the Fastlane on the good old wiki. Thank you, Wikipedia, not sponsored. But no, we'll break it down, see our thoughts, and see where it goes, and see what we end up predicting for next week. But hold on tight, guys. We'll be back after this quick little break into Fastlane.
Welcome back. We are starting with our Fastlane preview. Fastlane taking place this Sunday, March the 10th in Cleveland, Ohio, home of The Miz and, I believe, Johnny Takeover, Johnny Wrestling, Johnny Gargano.
That's true. Very true.
He's an interesting follow on Instagram, by the way.
Who?
Johnny Gargano.
Johnny. Oh, I love following him on Instagram. And Twitter.
He's like a super nerd, so it's really cool.
Very much a super nerd.
Him and Candice LeRae feel like they have a really solid, happy marriage. Well, I mean, it's all work, but
maybe
whatever.
It's all a work. It's like that one video, I think it was Smosh that did it, and it's the YouTube video, it's like every Instagrammer ever, and one of them's like, someone's just sitting there on the phone going like, oh my god, like, honey, like, why can't we be in love like that? And then it shoots to like the real life, where it's just a green screen backdrop, and the girl's actually like, looking like she's holding a hand, being like leaned back from a balcony, but it's actually a plastic hand. And then she just cuts, posts, I'm so lonely.
Yes. All right. So this is in no particular order in terms of the actual card, just because we don't really know what that is, but we're going based on the good old Wikipedia. But we will start with the pre-show match. We do have one. This is the first pay-per-view where we don't have a cruiserweight.
That's true.
They are waiting. They're doing a tournament again. Shocker.
Wait, am I crazy, or was Mike Kanellis not in this tournament at one point? And now he's no longer in this tournament.
You mean he was or he wasn't?
So he's not now, but I thought I saw him in there at one point.
So they talked about that he lost to somebody. And
were they
then
doing like qualifying or something?
Yeah,
like that? Maybe
something
I missed
like
that.
I'm not
okay.
Sure. It's really hard to follow 205 Live. But so up first on the pre-show is Andrade Cien Almas. I don't care what WWE says. He's got three names. And he's with Zelina Vega.
Tranquilo.
Taking on Rey Mysterio Jr. We're going old school with the name here. So Mark, what do you think's going to happen?
So this one's interesting. This feud, you know, like several weeks back when it kind of started, when you first saw them face each other, you know, Cien Almas really talked about how much of a big deal it was for him, because Rey Mysterio was one of his idols growing up. So it was kind of a really big moment in his wrestling career. I hope this is the end. They put on amazing, amazing matches. I think for the sake of build and just everything else, I think out of this whole feud, I want Cien Almas to walk away with the win. Because a big win over Rey Mysterio and then to move on to another feud can be very big for him, you know, because undoubtedly, you know, Andrade Cien Almas being one of the, you know, dozen of people coming from NXT off a huge high, NXT champ, hit the main roster and just kind of coasted a little bit, you know, on the BC level. But I know they're going to put on a heck of a match. They're going to kick off the pay-per-view in general. It's going to be fantastic. I think you just kind of got to continue to build Cien Almas as a great heel with Zelina Vega and go from there. But I think Rey loves being home. He loves being back. I don't think he needs to be there for a title reason or anything. I think it's nice to have Rey back, and I think he's there to build the future of the business. And I think he's going to do that this Sunday with Cien Almas. What about you?
So I will tell you, this is probably the first pre-show match that I've been looking forward to in the last couple, at least, pay-per-views. You know, we always have the cruiserweights on there, and you know, after a while, you kind of get the keeping them a little stagnant just because it's kind of the same matches.
Right.
But I really, really enjoy both matches we've seen with Andrade and Rey when they were in singles and then when they were dealing with the U.S. title.
Right.
So I've really been looking forward to it. I think they're going to put on a great show. I think that they have enough chemistry that...
Good point.
It'll be clean. It'll be... exciting, and it'll be something a little bit newer for the SmackDown side. Mm. I do think that Andre will come out with a win. I think you might be right. This might be the last of this feud, but then again, you never know because some of these other feuds in WWE go on for years and not in a good way. True. So, yeah. So I think Andrade is going to beat Rey and then go on to do something hopefully bigger. Hopefully get back into the U.S. title picture and maybe have some good feuds with Samoa Joe.
That's actually a really, really good point. The U.S. title picture. I think, and, you know, I repeat it over and over again, but who should be the ones competing for the titles, and you know, the people who can next challenge for that Intercontinental title should be the U.S. Championship, and hopefully now, you know, especially with Samoa Joe, the new U.S. Champion, I think that's huge. Huge for Joe, his first WWE title, other than an NXT title. But I think, you know, having, you know, Cien Almas kind of in that picture would definitely be good, so I love that point.
All right, let's go next. We'll go with the triple threat tag team match for the WWE Raw Tag Team Championship, which is the Revival, Dash Wilder and Scott Dawson, as the champions, taking on Aleister Black and Ricochet and Chad Gable and Bobby Roode. Mm. We had kind of an interesting lead into this match. Obviously, Aleister Black and Ricochet have been putting on some great matches, but they're everywhere on every show, including NXT. They're involved in the Dusty Rhodes Classic Tournament.
Yep.
And then you had Chad Gable and Bobby Roode that are kind of left to the side. And then they go into this weird heel face limbo where they just ruin the match with the Revival and Aleister Black and Ricochet in their championship match. And so now you've inserted them into this triple threat. In honesty, I would like to see the Revival. I would really like to see the Revival versus the original American Alpha. I think they put on
great
matches.
That's a really good point. That'd be so cool.
You know, I think that there's, because Jason Jordan has the strength to go with, and the technical skills to go with Chad Gable, so I think they have a good pairing together. I hope that the Raw tag team stays with the Revival because they deserve it. You made a big deal about putting them at the title. That let's start letting them win. Let's start treating them as champions instead of just the whatever.
Couldn't have said it better myself, honestly. That's so interesting. Imagine Jason Jordan, which apparently for quite some time he's been cleared to wrestle, but how he's going to come back. He wasn't in the great place when he was active before, but wow, a dream match. That'd be crazy. But no, I couldn't have said it better myself. Hopefully Revival retains, even though with the NXT call-ups, the Revival has kind of been used as this dump, I don't say dumping ground, but, you know, they've been defeated a lot by these NXT, you know, like the newly created DIY, which, don't get me wrong, you know, when you look at the original DIY and Revival back in NXT, some of the most historic tag team matches ever. But I think the Revival needs to continue to hold the belt. You know, Kyle, you said it best a couple weeks ago when they first won the title, that if you want to, now that, even though we can talk about how messy the road was to get here, now that they have it, win, lose, or draw, they need to continue with those championships. I think if you put it on Aleister Black and Ricochet now, I think that would be very confusing. I don't know what I would feel about that, because that would just be an example of throwing to the main roster and rushing it for no reason and completely diminishing all of this hard work that the Revival has put in to become the Raw Tag Team Champions. So definitely agree. Revival for the retain, but undoubtedly, you know, that's going to be one heck of a match.
All right. Up next, let's go with the other tag, the SmackDown Tag Team Championships, the Usos versus The Miz and Shane McMahon in a rematch from Elimination Chamber. As we, you know, I mentioned at the top of the show, I really liked the Usos promo work this week. I thought they did really set the point going forward that, you know, they were reminding everybody that they are one of the best in the world, and they're certainly one of the best, if not the best, in WWE. And so, you know, again, I am so against Shane McMahon as a wrestler and a head of the division, or whatever you want to call it, the shows.
Commissioner,
yeah.
General manager.
So I don't like that. One or the other. So my hope, bittersweet, not bittersweet, I lied, short and sweet, is the Usos win. They deserve to win. And then we can get some real solid tag team action back. End of story.
Nope. Totally agree. I think, you know, having two tag team champions on both brands, Raw and SmackDown, is very hard because it really stifles your depth in any division. And you can see it, you know, for the longest time. The Bar, New Day, Usos. Shane McMahon, Miz, interesting mix. Fun for what it was. It's not realistic. Don't get me wrong. For, you know, the son of Vince McMahon, Shane, for many, many years, 20 years, has been a competitor in some way, shape, or form. But to your point exactly, he has to make a choice. Is he a wrestler? And if he is, then he wrestles full-time. He can't. He just seems like the authority figure that just has always dreamt about wrestling, so I'm going to insert myself where I want to insert him. It was a fun little storyline with Miz trying to get on his good side. I hope this, number one, Usos retain, because they are one of the best tag teams, not just in WWE, not just in SmackDown, but in the world. But as well, I think they need this whole Miz and Shane thing needs to break up, which I think we predicted a couple weeks ago that at some point they're going to get the rematch. And I think something's going to happen where they're going to lose, the Miz gets upset, and in some way, shape, or form, this is going to end up a Miz versus Shane McMahon at WrestleMania.
Oh, dear God.
Not saying that I want that to happen, because there's always a fine line of what I think and what I want. I don't want that to happen. I think, you know, Shane can miss a WrestleMania or two. But, you know, because Shane McMahon, if he does wrestle, it should be a spectacle. Maybe once a year, maybe. You know, but you got to build a reason to it. But no, Usos for the win. I think it's going to be a decent match, but I think it's just hard with Shane.
All right, up next we have the SmackDown Women's Championship match. Asuka taking on Mandy Rose with obviously there will be some sort of interference involved with Sonya Deville.
Probably.
I wonder what's going on with SmackDown with the women's division. Is the focus so much on Becky and Charlotte that you kind of have to put the other stuff to side? This should be a squash match. End of story. Nobody has really been able to compete against Asuka. They need to find somebody either more technical than Asuka in the ring and use it that way, or is just flat out stronger. And Sonya Deville could potentially be that person, but they have to really turn around and push her to that MMA style fighter. I honestly think Asuka's gonna flatten Mandy Rose. Yeah. Or it better happen, because if it doesn't, then it'll be trouble for Asuka.
Like, I don't want it to turn into this Nikki Bella versus Ronda Rousey, where 70% of the match Nikki Bella was, you know, on the offense and on the up and up. But I'm very intrigued, and I'm a little confused on what they've been trying to do. The absence of Asuka lately. Apparently she's been dealing with an injury. Apparently she's not. Apparently she's fine. At first I was trying to think, were they maybe trying to have Asuka go away because you don't need to see the champion every single week, and maybe this is a good way to just build and focus on Mandy Rose? Is Mandy Rose now a hell of a lot better than she was before? Absolutely. She has the look. She has the athleticism. She just needs to clean some things up, and she's got some time to get there. You know, she kind of reminds me of like a little Trish Stratus. When Trish came in, it was, you know, like Pretty Little Blonde and, you know, from bikinis and workout photo shoots. And when Trish came in right away, even though now we look back and she's one of the best female wrestlers of all time, she wasn't in her first couple of years. Very sloppy, very messy, very, you know, very botchy. You know, so once again, that doesn't mean that just because Trish did it, Mandy will do it. But I think the same, you know, I'd be fine if Mandy gets a little bit of offense in, but it really has to be a struggle. And almost a coincidence that, oh, she found an opening. You know, like, oh, she maybe cheated a little bit. And maybe an eye poke. Maybe something to kind of get the upper hand. But Asuka for the win. And you know what? You bring up a really good point. Is Becky, Charlotte, Ronda overtaking the championship at this point? Where are we going? We know what's happening with the Raw Women's, you know, the Raw Women's Championship. But we're a couple of weeks from WrestleMania. What does that look like for Asuka? At this point, we should hopefully have, or I really hope the Tuesday after Fastlane, they really start icing up a really good feud for Asuka, because Asuka's one of the best. She's the champ, and she should be defending it against someone very, very, very worthy at WrestleMania.
So. And they're running out of time.
Big time running out of time. You know, it's always like the Raw SmackDown, the first two after the last pay-per-view before Mania, always ramps things up. That's your couple of weeks away. But I don't know. Like, hopefully they have something in their back pocket for Asuka.
All right. Another tag. This is actually the most tags matches I think I've seen. There's half of them, four out of the eight are tag matches, of which three belts are on the line. So let's go with the Women's Tag Team Championship, the first defending of this title by the Boston Hug Connection versus the Samoan Sisters. That's what I'm calling them because, you know, WWE has to have names for everyone. Nia Jax and Tamina. You know, you've had some issue with the lead up, or rather the follow up from Elimination Chamber where this belt was first crowned. So where do you think this match is going to go?
So it wouldn't make sense at this point for them to lose it. If you want the first, or the first modern day WWE female tag team champions, if you need it to mean something, you can't be flopping the belts back and forth right away. So I do believe that the you know, the Boston Hug Connection will win. And I do hope that too. Am I very impressed with Nia and Tamina as a team? How this is the most, unfortunately, this is the most, I guess, unfortunately and fortunately for Tamina, this is the most consistent she's been in a long time, which is great to see. But at the same time, I think, are we shocked that we got here with this match? No, we saw it coming. And I definitely agree with something that you said a long time ago and that always resonated with me, is it doesn't always need to be the biggest story, you know, to be able to have a match and things like that. But I almost feel at this point, you know, first title defense, you know, like pay-per-view versus the last pay-per-view for WrestleMania, you know, a big challenger. There hasn't really been a story other than we're a tag team now and we want the belt and we want our shot. And I almost feel like, give me a little bit of a why are you, like, why are they the number one contender? Yes, they're big, they're strong, but at the same time, I just feel, I don't know why they're facing each other other than it's just the logical choice. And I'm not invested in it. You know, I don't know what they're defending, other than defending the titles, I don't know what they're defending against. So maybe that's just me, and I hope that makes sense to everyone, but Boston Hug Connection for the win. And I just, once again, where are we going from here? I think maybe it's almost like when we talked about a long time ago, the brand split. We can only really, you know, what does that look like after a long period of time? So maybe in several months from now, we'll have a better idea on how to judge and talk about the female championship reign of anyone or any team or anything. But I think right now, it's they haven't captivated me in this yet. So I'm hoping they do, because it is really cool. You know, third time ever WWE as a, or in wrestling in WWE has ever had it, but they've had it before and it's gone away before. How long is it going to be around? I don't know. So, but yeah, Bayley, Sasha for the win.
Yeah, I think they will win. I think you're right that they have to keep the titles on them. They are, you know, they'll at some point in time will make appearances on SmackDown. Sometime they'll make an appearance on NXT.
And that might, that's actually a really good point. And that might be the thing that ramps it up, is being on both shows consistently.
But they're not yet.
They're not yet.
That's the problem I have, 100%. Is that they're not showing up. They're not, you know, they're really not working through how, what, like, you say that they're going to be everywhere, but yet they're not.
Yeah, good point.
And if anything, why, you know, maybe you have Nia and Tamina show up on Raw, on SmackDown, and kick the crap out of the Iconics or somebody else, and that way you can have, that's how you prove that they're the best ones to have.
Right.
Yeah, so I think that's just the way, where, you know, where you have these opportunities to really push it, is you gotta build, you can't just build it with a champion, you gotta build with everybody else that's a, considered a tag team.
Yeah.
And that's how you get through this.
No, and, you know, and that's a really good point, too. And, you know, and yes, it's always easier to kind of judge something only after the fact. But that's what we do. That's why we're critics. But no, and that actually would have been, that's very intriguing where, and I think that could, maybe it wasn't done now, but that can be something to be very interesting later on down the road. Because imagine, you know, okay, while we're building up Boston Hug versus, you know, like Nia and Tamina, but then all of a sudden Nia and Tamina just show up on SmackDown. And just, maybe there's a tag team match going on, and they just go and they just destroy the ring and literally, like, you know, grab Peyton Royce by the hair or the, lift her up and be like, this is what I'm going to do to you. It doesn't matter what brand, you know what I mean? You can play it. Like, it doesn't matter what, but I will go into any, like, we're not from SmackDown. I don't care. This is what we're going to do to everyone in the division. That would actually be really, really cool.
All right. So, up next, we have a... I'm going to go with bittersweet match. The potentially last time we will see the Shield together.
Right.
Taking on Baron Corbin, Drew McIntyre, and Bobby Lashley. This has been a confusing storyline because it's kind of like, hey, we still want these people to be relevant, so we're just going to keep putting them against people. We don't have Braun Strowman here. We don't have, shockingly enough, the Universal title again. But we want these guys to be major players, so this is how we're going to do it. We talked about, it was pretty clear that Dean is not going to come back. Otherwise, I know, but I'm still convinced he's not coming back. Because he's lost, and he's really not doing anything productive, and he seems like he doesn't want to deal with his shenanigans.
But maybe that's what they want you to think.
Nah. So I will say that, I think the Shield are going to win. I think this is the way that you ended out.
Roman's back.
You know, I don't know if Dean's contract ends after WrestleMania or before WrestleMania.
April 4th.
So WrestleMania.
I think so.
So I think this might be it. I could see this being the, you know, you talked about before why Dean keeps showing up on TV even though he's leaving. This might be it. This might be the opportunity for him to get his final goodbye, and then he just doesn't show up for the next 4 weeks.
That makes sense. And yeah, definitely Shield for the win. You know, Roman Reigns back. It's great to have him back. He's been back with a vengeance too, because I think the cool thing about his return was we thought we were just getting an update from Roman. You know what I mean? And then maybe like, hey guys, you know, love you guys. You know, I'm in remission. That's awesome. Big pop, lots of love, you know, for him to kind of get that feel. And you can tell that he's happy to be back. He's in great shape, looks great, feels great. And then I thought he would have maybe just made a couple of appearances, but he's back. He's wrestling. This is great. It doesn't make sense for Roman's return to be a loss. It's funny. I was really thinking about this match a few times on which way is it going to go. So at the end of the day, Shield for the win. Part of me also thought, does Roman and Seth turn their back on Dean? Almost like, you're leaving us, screw you. But then when I saw that, so I thought about that then before I saw Monday. And then when I saw Monday, I was like, no, that doesn't make any sense to do that. Can't convince the guy to be all like, come on. And then boom, they're just going to stab him in the back. Makes no sense. I think it's hard with this one because minus Baron Corbin, you have five of the top guys in the business. And I feel this is what they're doing because they don't know what to do with them. This could also be the effect of too many top stars and too much big talent. There's not as much like, you know, B and C talent as there used to be over the history of wrestling. You know, they got all, most of the roster can be world champion, intercontinental champion, a champion at any time. But once again, what we do know is Seth is facing Brock at WrestleMania for the belt. And that's it. Out of these big guys, you know, the Drew McIntyre train has kind of slowed down a little bit. This Baron Drew Bobby thing, we saw it months ago. I don't know why it's back. I don't know why they're together. They're not explaining why they're together. They're not explaining why they're a unit. Especially when Bobby, you know, shoves Leo after losing the Intercontinental belt. You almost saw almost like a babyface turn, but then for him to continue to be a heel. Very confusing. Once again, goes back to a couple of the other matches. When we're talking about with Asuka. The Monday, Tuesday after Fastlane is when you really need to hype these guys up. Because if Drew is not, if Drew's just going to be thrown in the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal, that's going to be an absolute waste. But I don't know. I think I just have so many different, I'm going to, you know, wrap my thoughts up on this one because I have so many. But the only reason why I'm invested is because I'm actually quite excited to see Roman back. That's it. That's all. I love the Shield. I don't love how the Shield has been over the years. You need to figure something out.
I think they've been cursed with bad timing.
Yeah.
So they bring him back, and then first Roman gets the mumps or whatever it was.
Right.
And then
Kurt Angle stepped in.
Right. And then he gets injured. And then they're ready to come back again, and then Dean gets injured. And so, you know, it's... And then they're ready to come back again, and then Roman gets, you know, has cancer. So it's really tough, to create that consistency with him. But I almost wonder, maybe you should have learned that the first time it didn't work and not bother with it anymore until later when you, maybe that's like your, oh, we don't have anything else. Okay, now we bring them back.
And to your point too, to Dean, you know, like I do hope that he's not done. Only because you've never seen this before. Literally never. No one has ever said I'm genuinely not really, like, outside of CM Punk, but someone said like I'm not resigning. I don't want to be here. But then they're on Raw every day, you know, or every week. Like it just it doesn't. And it's small storylines. And yes, he's losing. But maybe you're right. And maybe this is the Dean's leaving. Let's get the Shield won. This could be the last time we're seeing the Shield. So yeah, you know, it's once again just like a lot of the matches. It's a match. I'm going to watch it. I know it's going to be good. These guys are good. It's going to be exciting. I'm sure Braun will find his way in some way, shape, or form to crush someone. But yeah.
Tell me this. Could it be possible, as the ultimate heel turn, that Roman's cancer was a work?
Ooh.
I mean, it would be pretty terrible. I will tell you this, though. Old school WWE, that could happen.
Yep.
I don't think they would do it.
Attitude era, that could have happened.
I don't think they would do it now. You know, one thing's like something that everybody should check out is the new Chronicle. Yes. With Roman and his recovery.
Talking about what kind of...
Right. So I think that, you know, you can't have... The access to these wrestlers is like never before. So it's a lot harder to sell this. This would be a lot of work, and there'd be a lot of pretty peeved off people if you turn around and said, oh, it was just for a story. It would be fantastic. And if you want Roman to be a heel, that is how you do it. But...
So no, only because they've been doing fundraising for cancer. That would be so bad. Don't get me wrong. I am with you. And people, come here. Come close. We're hypothetically speaking. We don't hope he faked cancer. But no, you know what? Don't get me wrong. So if we're playing devil's advocate, if he faked this, wow. But at the same time, that would destroy WWE. Faking, no one fakes cancer. People fake, you know, it's like we talk about at work all the time.
Fake death.
Oh, yo, hell yeah. You know, at work, you know, Kyle and I have been working at the same bank together for over 10 years. And, you know, we see it all. No one ever has a headache anymore. They have a migraine. No one has a sore back. It's a pinched sciatic nerve. You know, it's always something. And, you know, it's, if someone was to fake cancer, jeebus, that'd be crazy.
Yeah.
That'd be crazy.
Just thought.
Hey, it's a crazy thought.
All right. So our second last match is the WWE Championship. The champion, Captain Planet, the Eco Warrior, Daniel Bryan, defends his hemp title against Kevin Owens. We talked about this in the previous shows. You know, everyone was looking for Kofi, but I think this might help Kofi get his WrestleMania moment.
Yep.
I'm really looking forward to seeing Kevin Owens. I've been really liking what he's been doing the last, you know, since he's been back. I think they'll just for the story, again, you don't go through the trouble of creating a brand new physical title for nothing. So yep. I think that Daniel retains. I think that he's on the right track. Kevin Owens still needs to find his place. Is he a heel? Is he a face? Or is he going to play both sides? What's his motivations? We haven't learned those things yet. So I think that, for me, I think Daniel Bryan will come through. I think he'll get some assistance from Rowan. It just makes the most sense. It allows him to keep heel
100%.
Without, you know, weakening Kevin Owens' position. So that's where I'm at with it.
Nope, totally agree. And I think the interesting thing too is, you know, with Vince McMahon bringing him in, it makes it a little easier on Kevin, where he doesn't necessarily need to feed on why are we wrestling. Well, I'm back from injury. I've been away for a while, and the owner wants me to be in the title picture. Thank you. Yeah. I'm not going to say no one would say no to that. Kevin Owens is back. He looks great. He looks like $1 million. His face, his tattoos, even his physique. Like, you can tell he's been working out. You can tell he, like, this time off, it's probably been the longest time off he's taken in forever. You know, and you can see it in his promos. You could hear it and feel it in his promos, and you can see it in the ring. You know, which is how approachable he is to his offense and how well he's selling. So I think it's going to be a heck of a match, but totally agree. I think, you know, if we would have thought of Kofi getting the shot and then losing some way, but then finding a rematch at Mania, it's kind of like, yeah, but we just saw it. You know, like, seeing it on SmackDown in the build-up, it's one thing. But I don't want to see him get his shot and then has another shot. You know, I would love to see Kofi Bryant at WrestleMania. Once again, like the whole Becky Ronda thing, it's written itself. I think the world would explode if Kofi Kingston became the new WWE SmackDown World Champion. That'd be crazy. No one deserves it more than Kofi Kingston. He's a workhorse. He's amazing. But plus with the story, yeah, Kevin Owens puts on a great show, finds a way. To your point, I agree. Rowan will probably find a way to interfere. And then between that and the last road to WrestleMania, Kofi will become the number one contender. And I hope so too. I know I was reading some things online about potentially it to be like a fatal four-way, like Kevin Owens, Kofi, like just a couple of people in a match. But I just think Kofi Daniel, you saw it at Elimination Chamber, they will tear the house down at Mania. So I'd love to see that.
All right, our last match of the night is, we talked about it at the top of the show, you know, in terms of both positives and negatives, is Becky versus Charlotte. If Becky wins, she is inserted into the Raw Women's Championship into a triple threat. You know, this is a really tough one to call because I want this Ronda-Becky match. The question is, do I want it so much that I'm willing to accept a triple threat? Or do I specifically want these two wrestling each other and that's it? And I think that I would rather not see it than see a triple threat. And so I feel like...
I'm with you.
I think Charlotte will win. And then they're going to figure out something else to get Becky and Ronda together. I still haven't figured out what it is yet. But I think it'll be a disappointment and a letdown for everybody if it ends up being a triple threat.
Yep. You talk about listening to the fans and all that stuff. And I think WWE a couple of months ago versus now... new talent, new opportunities. They have delivered. No one can say that they haven't delivered on everything they said when they talked about flipping the switch. It feels different. It looks different. It doesn't make sense. And once again, we're not back there. I don't know. Maybe it could easily be, hey, this is going to main event WrestleMania, and we want Charlotte to be a part of that. Charlotte's been a part of so much already. You know, and Charlotte's going to go down as one of the greatest female talents of all time. And still has a long career ahead of her. I will be very utterly disappointed if it doesn't end up just being Becky and Ronda. And I 1,000,000,000% agree with you. If I had my way, would I want to see it or not? I would not want to see it. If it happens, we'll watch it and we'll support it, but we won't like it. It just makes no sense. Especially, too, you have a struggling Asuka over here not having a title contender for the brand that Charlotte is on. Like, I don't get it. Like, it doesn't make any sense. You thought right away, okay, so Becky chose Ronda and Raw. That means we're going to get a Asuka-Charlotte rematch at Mania. Like, that's exactly where I thought I was going to go. But you did all this, you know, like, I'm dropping my title. Do what's right. I want Becky only at Mania. Ba-ba-ba-ba. Drops the title. All these weeks, Becky jumping in, you know, like attacking on live shows, attacking the authority, everything, just pobbling her way through. Okay, so, Becky, you're no longer suspended. And you guys will face, and the winner will be the new Raw Women's Champion. Ronda comes down, whoa, give me my belt back, give me my belt back. It's like, what the heck? Okay, so you're still the champion, and now you guys will face, and if Becky, if you win, you'll be in the three-way. What has the 7 weeks been? It's been preventing Becky from being able to be in the three-way. Like, that's what all of this has been. So why all of a sudden are you going to go, you know what, I'm actually going to give you another chance again to be a part of this three-way. It makes no sense. I'll tell you one thing, you know, and I've said before, where embrace Ronda, like, Ronda was the darling. You know, like, she, like, the hardcore fans loved her, you know, debuting and everything, and... But now you come to now and the hardcore fans, you know, are booing her because of the heat, the high rise of Becky Lynch. I think what you're starting to see this past week on Raw is they're allowing Ronda to really embrace that heel. You know, a little bit of a better, crisper, more angry or forceful promo from Ronda. Literally grabbing, like, and she didn't stumble. It's been, she usually stumbles at one point. She grabbed the mic, held elbow high, and just spit out a promo, and then just boom, and beat the heck out of Becky. Like, beat the heck out of everyone. that's the first time, and I think you called that the other week or a couple of weeks ago, and Becky went to, you know what I mean, like to Raw and the Invasion thing before Survivor Series and attacked Ronda, but you haven't seen Ronda do it back yet. And finally, Ronda's like, screw that, and literally slammed the microphone down and just started pummeling shots. I thought that was the best Ronda's looked in a long time, but totally agree. The storyline itself as a package has been very messy, but once again, where are we going? Maybe by Monday or Tuesday, we say, ah, that makes sense. You put it all together again, so...
All right, so that wraps up our preview for Fastlane, taking place once again this Sunday, March 10th in Cleveland, Ohio. And next week, we will break down every match for you. So up next, we will come up with our F5 for the week and wrap this bad boy up. So stay tuned.
Welcome back, everyone. So, once again, it's my favorite segment. It's your favorite segment, I hope. It's everyone's favorite segment. It's the Here Comes the Pain Fabulous 5 F5 Top 5 of the Week. This is a segment where we take a little bit of time to go over Kyle's and I's views over the last week, week and a half, 2 weeks, depending on the timeline, of our take on who do we think were the top five people in wrestling in general that kind of has been on our radar and impressed us the best. So we'll kind of go into it and we'll pop a name. We're going to start at five, make our way to one, and then just kind of go into a little bit of a reasoning behind why. So Kyle, on our number five list, I believe this is the very first time that a New Japan pro wrestling star has been on the F5. So congratulations. This is breaking news. But no, Switchblade, Jay White, was someone who, you know, made the list. And even though it wasn't necessarily what Jay White has done over the past week necessarily, but I've been very impressed where he's gone and how he's transitioning New Japan since the Elite has left New Japan. Obviously, a lot of New Japan wasn't only just based off of the Bullet Club and being the Elite, but it was a large part of it. The Young Bucks, Cody, Kenny, Marty, Hangman, you know, Flip Gordon was making a little bit of appearances here and there. SCU, you know, now that they're on doing AEW now, Jay White stepped in as the new leader of the Bullet Club, which was very mixed reviews on. We've seen many different transitions of the Bullet Club, but it always had some sort of piece to do with the Young Bucks and stuff like that. Even like the newer version, even the older version, when it was, you know, like Carl Anderson, Luke Gallows, you know, AJ Styles, Finn Balor, you know, so many different transitions, but the bulk of the group was the same. Jay White coming in, being the new leader, which was very different because I believe he was a part of a team called Chaos in New Japan Pro Wrestling. But I've been loving it. Not even just about the Bullet Club piece, but just, you know, he won the New Japan, the IWGP World Heavyweight Championship from Tamahashi. Tamahashi? Correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe it was Tamahashi, which was a very short reign for Tamahashi. But since then, if you've heard him on interviews, on podcasts, he is a heel full and through. You know, not only is he great in the ring, but he's holding that title with pride. And he's literally going around the world, you know, educating the fans on New Japan Pro Wrestling and why he is one of the best wrestlers in the world. You know, he's got, you know, a great look, a great style, a hard-hitting, what would you call it, King of Hearts, what is it?
Strong style?
Strong style, there we go. A good strong style feel to him. But no, I think if you've, and you know, I know a lot of people don't necessarily listen to or watch to New Japan Pro Wrestling, but if you haven't, definitely go on YouTube, check out, you know, Jay White's Switchblade matches. His match versus Kenny Omega, Tamahashi, and much, much more were absolutely amazing. Actually, there was Cody Rhodes versus Jay White for the IWGP US Championship. The American Championship. It's their nice little red, white, and blue championship belt. Great matches, but definitely check them out. Love them. Number four, we have someone who we've loved. I know, Kyle, it's one of your favorite wrestlers. We have Kevin Owens. What have you loved about Kevin Owens? What brought him on this list? And what are you hoping to see in the near future for Kevin Owens?
So I think, like we talked about in the previous segment with the lead up for his match with Daniel Bryan, he's looked really good. He hasn't said a whole lot, which is an interesting take. So there's a lot for where he can go in the future. But I also think, you know, he's bringing out the stunner and he's doing a little bit of new stuff, nothing too crazy, but he's just been really solid coming back. He hasn't looked rusty. He, you know, has looked strong. And I think that it shows, you know, you realize how much you missed him. And what he can bring to the ring.
Very true.
And so, you know, for me, it's been a really strong return to him so far.
Nope, I love it, and I totally agree. I think with Kevin Owens, it was, good to see him come back right before WrestleMania. Be very interesting because he came back very recently, what his role in WrestleMania is going to be. But I think the good thing about Kevin Owens is that I'm sure he's just happy to be here and he will love any match or any position that he will be here in. They could have easily held off and waited until the Monday after WrestleMania, because imagine that. The Raw after Mania is one of the biggest ones. And imagine, you know, KO's music hits as a return right after, Raw or SmackDown on Mania. So that could have been cool. But hey, if he's ready, and clearly he is. It's great to see him back. All right, number three on the F5 of the week, we have a tag team. A tag team where the build-up was there, you know, oh gosh, 7-8 weeks in a row of the same promos being played a dozen times a night of, you know, here are the call-ups, you know, you got Lacey Evans, you know, EC3, and then also they talked about Heavy Machinery. And Heavy Machinery is number three in the F5 of the week. I didn't know what I thought about them at first, even being on NXT. But I'll tell you, I'm loving them. But Kyle, what do you think is so great about Heavy Machinery? What have they done that has made it work so far for you?
So I think they're an NXT tag team. I think they you know, obviously they're raised through there because Tucker Knight wasn't always in a tag team.
Right.
I think that they have a fresh view to them. They're not over the top, dominating, destroying. They have the offer, the comedic spots, and you know, they turn out and they won a gauntlet match. Now, granted, they won a gauntlet match against, you know, the B-side tag teams, but it's important. You still need those tag teams to come there because not every tag team can fight for the championship. So I think that they're good. I think that they make sense on Raw because Raw tags teams are weaker. So I think they make sense there. But yeah, ultimately, they went in there, they perform well in a gauntlet style tag team match. And they're really clearly giving room for, or giving the opportunity for people that are of the older tag teams to at least still be relevant, even in a losing way.
Love that explanation. Couldn't agree more. And I'll tell you, especially the comedic pieces, kind of like them. You know, the little subtle one where they're making cheeseburgers and Becky Lynch comes up and takes a big bite of it and throws it on the ground, you know, like, I've had better or whatever. And, you know, the whole talking trash behind with, oh my goodness, what are the name? Connor and...
The Ascension.
The Ascension, there we go.
Victor.
Not the Legion of Doom, the Ascension. You know, that was a fun little segment with kind of like, oh, you better not be talking about that. And kind of him coming out with his big neck and high chest and being like, what? And then just kind of shoving him down and going from there. It was a very lame segment, but it worked because it was really funny. But no, loving to see him. And I think, you know, you made a really good point too. You know, Heavy Machinery, they're kind of, yes, they won a gauntlet, but it's kind of within like the B pack of the teams. But the cool thing is you kind of need that B pack to eventually find out if there's a dozen teams in the B pack, someone eventually has to be the number one of the mid cardings to then go on one day to become, you know, to challenge for that title. So that'll be very, very cool and very, very interesting. And I'm very excited to see what's next for them. All right, number two on the F5 list, we have another tag team. Someone that, even though it's only been a couple of weeks, I've been very impressed with, especially this past week. I thought it was cheesy, I thought it was lame, I thought it didn't make sense, but it's really, really starting to stick on me, and that is the tag team of the NXT call-ups of Ricochet and Aleister Black from NXT. Hold on, ladies and gentlemen, we have Kyle's dog Bruin here. who's just making a little appearance with his little squeaky toy. Thank you, Bruin. But no, Aleister Black and Ricochet. I didn't know why. I thought it was a fancy way to just call people up, but I'm digging it. They're meshing well together. They're doing well together. Especially this past week, I love how after they made their point, Ricochet did that backflip onto his knees in a pose, and Aleister Black did the backflip, then right into a sitting pose. I thought that was pretty badass and pretty cool. But Kyle, what are your thoughts on, you know, Aleister Black, Ricochet, and everything else?
No, I think like we talked about in the lead-in to, you know, in our preview of the Fastlane, they've looked impressive in the ring. They've gelled really well together. They've put on some strong performances. And while I don't consider them truly a tag team...
Right, right.
I think that for what it's worth, they've performed really well and brought NXT to the forefront for those who don't watch it.
Right.
And no, I think that's totally important.
True. Totally true. You know, it's still one of those, you know, what does it mean? What is this? Are they a true call-up? Or are they NXT trying to help the main roster? I do think it's a great, you know, a great thing to do when it comes to bringing... posing for the camera. Hopefully that was a photo. Perfect. But no, I thought, you know, I can't remember. I think it was Jim Ross that said, you know, people that are hardcore main roster fans with Raw and SmackDown might not know so much about NXT, you know, which would seem really backwards, right? But the hardcore NXT fans watch NXT and they also watch a little bit of the main roster. I think this is a great way of showing the main roster, like, hey, listen, if you don't know, you've clearly heard of them, but we have a great, 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 great gang of guys down here, guys and girls in NXT, that you should check it out. These guys are from NXT, they're hardcore, and they can hang with the main roster guys and girls. And I think mission accomplished so far. And once again, if you watch the main roster and you don't want to watch NXT, WWE Network, not a sponsor, but something we love watching, you know, check them out. Absolutely. All right. So number one on the F5 of the week. So far we have number five, Jay White Switchblade, Jay Switchblade White, however you want to call him. We have four, Kevin Owens. We have three, Heavy Machinery. And then we have two, Aleister Black and Ricochet from NXT. And number one of the F5 of the week is Samoa Joe. Samoa having a pretty big week. Samoa having a very crazy year, from injuries to returns to, you know, a year and a half ago being in the world title picture with Brock Lesnar and Braun Strowman, to having several matches with AJ Styles and losing every one of them, to now he's the new U.S. champion. I thought it was not only just a great match, but it was great to see him finally win a belt. And I think when we talk about what's going to mean something for the U.S. title, I think Samoa Joe can absolutely do something for the U.S. championship belt. But what are your thoughts on Joe, his win, and where does he go from here? And another question I'll throw at you is, who does he defend the U.S. championship against at WrestleMania?
So I think with Joe, you know, he's finally winning. After being both dominant on the mic and dominant when it doesn't count, to finally winning, which was huge. I think you're looking at Andrade. I think you're looking at Rey Mysterio. Rey Mysterio and Joe might be a really good match. I could easily see that at WrestleMania. All in all, though, I mean, anytime somebody takes a title and it's their first title on the main roster, it's huge. And so...
Very true.
We all both love Joe. We want to see him succeed. And I think this is his platform. He may never get that WWE title just because of all the other names in the roster. But this is definitely a good spot for him. I think he can really do something well with this U.S. title. I don't want to see an open challenge. I thought... I haven't enjoyed an open challenge since John Cena.
Right.
Because John Cena had young, up-and-coming talent come. I really enjoyed the last open challenge with R-Truth because it was just funny.
Yep.
And it was pure comedy.
John Cena growing up was my favorite. Yeah. Like, even though he was wrestling way before John Cena was.
So it's just that, you know, I like that.
Yeah.
But I'm hoping that Joe just gets some solid competition. I don't want Jeff Hardy. Randy Orton might happen just based on the lead up to Elimination Chamber.
Right. That's a good one.
I think Randy's in a tough spot because he's clearly older. There's no doubt that he's considerably older than most of the other roster. So is he the right person to continuously push?
The hard thing about Randy Orton, right, is the guy still looks like $1 million and can go. You know, he was very young when he got into the business, so clearly he's not old, but older in tenure and older in general than the average roster, you know, to your point. But I think Randy's that really weird one where I think Randy may go down as one of the most versatile talents of all time, where he's happy where he just being in the business. You know, we've heard stories about Randy Orton being, you know, like really tough on fans, a really tough person, you know, going through divorce and just being like a not so great of a person. But, you know, with his new marriage, his new wife, his new take on life, you know, now that he's being more involved, being a father. Once again, these are the things, I don't know, Randy, these are the things that we hear and read. So, but you see such a change. And I think he's just happy to be here. And he, like, tell me a bad Randy Orton match. You know what I mean? Like, you're not gonna, you know, future Hall of Famer for sure. And I think the thing with Randy is you can snap your fingers and put him in the world title picture and no one's gonna question it because he's that good and he's forever going to be one of the greatest champions of all time. So, but no, I think that's very interesting. I like that take. Definitely, yeah, Jeff Hardy, I think went to the well too many times with this U.S. title thing, but no, that wraps up the F5 of the week. Outside of other just random pieces, just to randomly bring up before we close the show today, I want to get a couple of your opinion on a couple of things, Kyle. Did you see Ethan Page's most recent post or his video?
I did.
So what are your thoughts? Do you think that is a storyline? Do you think he's genuinely nursing an injury? So what with MJF, I guess what's your thoughts on the overall status of All Ego?
So, you know, he signed a long-term deal, 2 years with Impact Wrestling.
Right.
Josh Alexander signed 3 years. I think that that's going to be where his focus is. He runs A1 Wrestling.
Right.
So he has said that it's only been a couple of times that he hasn't wrestled. I think this is used to push a storyline. It was very well done. I think there's also some truth to it, though, that he's probably been going pretty hard. And this is probably that opportunity where he can definitely do the rest because he's wrestling the Friday and the Saturday out of town. So yeah, I think this is kind of a combination. I think he's done really well. He's got a new vlog going, which is just kind of like a behind the scenes of how his day goes while he's out traveling, which is interesting as well. So we'll see where that comes from. But yeah, I mean, I think that in the end, I don't think he's really that hurt, but he's probably taking the opportunity to get the rest because it'll definitely help.
No, 110%. So I know, and you know, you came up with a good idea in regards to, maybe on another show at another time, we'll go over, you know, Hall of Fame. Maybe when they've all been announced, you know. But just to very quickly comment, obviously this past week it was announced that Torrey Wilson will go into the Hall of Fame. So let's not necessarily talk about the Hall of Fame in general. Let's just talk about that one piece. What are your thoughts of Torrey Wilson going into the Hall of Fame? Is it a thumbs up? Is it a thumbs down? What's your take on it?
It's a thumb sideways. You know, the Torrey Wilson I remember is the sexual, over-sexualized eye candy. I know that she's done a lot since then to change her image, and she's probably done quite a bit to help the WWE kind of family. But in the end, I don't know. This is an opportunity. I thought that maybe China would have gotten her chance. You know, I'm not too sure. Maybe Luna Vachon. I mean, come on. Although, you know, tragedy in the way she passed, so maybe not.
True.
So, I mean, I think there's just, I don't know. I put her in the same sentence as Stacy Keibler. Right. Like, yeah, you remember them, but is this who we really want? Like,
Did she revolutionize the business?
Yeah.
And don't get me wrong. I think when you think of, you know, females in the Attitude Era in WCW, WWE, that really, yeah, play it, Bruin. Play it, Bruin. Play with that toy. You know, that really made an impact. You know, you do think about Lita. You think about Trish. And, you know, Stacy was a good manager. But Tori was just literally like, oh, hey, bra and panty match. Oh, hey, I'm going to dump a bucket of water all over my white bra. And, you know, there wasn't really much to that. And don't get me wrong, like she was a fan favorite. People loved her. She was attractive. But I don't know if she's Hall of Fame worthy. So, yeah, definitely interested to see, you know. And, yeah, I'm going to stop myself right there, because I think another show later on can be very, very cool to talk about. You know, after all of the Hall of Fames have been announced, what does that look like? And, you know, like, maybe a little bit of a critique on who shoulda, woulda, coulda went in instead of, and who do we want to see later on? That can be a show in itself. So, WrestleMania 36 being announced that they are going to Tampa. That would be coming in the next few years. What's your thoughts on WrestleMania going to Tampa? I know you were kind of saying that, you know, you're going on the Jericho Cruise again. Has that been fully confirmed or?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So obviously I know you were kind of saying, like, man, if I would have known that, maybe that could have been a different thing to do. And, I almost feel like maybe it's just time to take the toy away from her. no, it's okay. You go play with it. You go play with it, Bruin. But no, yeah, so it'd be very interesting and very cool. You know, obviously, you know, cruising and going and vacationing that we have many, many times. You know, a lot of the times we're in Florida, you know, so it'd be very interesting to think to see that maybe one day can make a WrestleMania. That's a huge bucket list item of mine, is to go to a WrestleMania one day. Actually, even just a WWE pay-per-view. I've never been to a pay-per-view. I've been to a Raw, I've been to a SmackDown taping, but never a pay-per-view. But no, let me just see here. Other just random news I'll just kind of splurt out. Jim Ross leaving WWE at the end of the month. Jim Ross has decided not to renew his contract. Seemingly there has been some creative differences, not bad blood per se, or at all, I shouldn't say that, but, you know, speculating that, you know, Jim wanted to do more commentary and WWE just doesn't really have a spot for him or thinks he can still do it. Where do you think Jim goes from here?
I think AEW is the obvious. He wants to do commentary. He wants to stay busy. I just don't know if AEW is going to do enough to stay busy. He could go back to Access, and do whatever it is they're doing there. I know they
right.
The Women of Wrestling has been signed up again for another year. He could go back to New Japan. He might take over MLW. It's an option there with
that's
Bruce being gone.
Too. Yep, that's actually really true. You know, Bruce Pritchard did have a really good hand and foot into that that company there, so that'd be really cool. Also, there is, you know, listening to... Sorry, let me pull up the podcast here to make sure I don't butcher the name. Total Engagement, Matt Kuhn. What it was their his podcast with Robbie E., which now it's just Matt Kuhn. He recently, this past Wednesday, put out a podcast. Great, great podcast. He speaks to Conrad Thompson, Brian Pillman Jr., and also it's the second part of the interview with Jim Johnson, which Jim Johnson formerly, for very many years, was the creative genius behind WWE's music. You know, making some of the most greatest theme music of all time. Kind of goes behind the scenes about his time in WWE, what he's doing now. Definitely a very, very good listen, so go check that out. But Conrad talks about potentially doing a podcast with Jim Ross in the near future. You know, talking about how Jim's podcast now is very good. It's very exciting and, you know, fans love it. But the biggest thing about, you know, Jim Ross is that when people don't want to hear Jim talk to another person, they want Jim because they want to talk about Jim. You know, they want to hear about him. So this podcast would almost be like a Something to Wrestle With vibe, but it would be really touching on, you know, what was it like being Vince's right-hand man? What was it like booking with Bill Watts and, you know, being a commentary in WCW and you know, like to really get that insight and in-depth look how Bruce Pritchard does, but on Jim Ross's side. So I always thought that would be really cool. No, but those are all the little tidbit sides of news that I really wanted to just call out and go over. Anything else you want to go over, Kyle, before we call it the show?
No, so I'll be checking out the mystery event at the Keep.
Right.
Which is run by Stu Grimson and Stu Grayson. Sorry, not Stu Grimson. He's a hockey
Grimson?
Player.
I was like, who's Grimson?
Stu Grayson and Evil Uno. Jay Alexander or Josh A. will be making a appearance. He's also running a seminar beforehand. And there will be some sort of C4 title show. Sorry, title match going on there. I'm not too sure what the details are. Speaking of Josh Alexander, he will not be attending the next C4 show as a result of taping. Ethan Page and him will be taping for Impact, which obviously is their priority. But he said he will be back the following in the April show to defend his title. That's been stated. So at the very least, it's not like it's a bad reason that Josh is going to be there. All the better.
No,
so that's it for me.
No, that's awesome. And obviously, you know, that show next coming up that he will not be at, we will be at. So you'll be able to see us, maybe. Probably, maybe don't look, you know, Kyle actually just tweeted a very flattering photo of myself in my best up-close pose. Friday, March 22nd at St. Anthony's Hall. It is C4 presents Reign of Fire. We have our tickets. Really excited to go. It's been a little bit. I've missed actually a few of the last C4 events that you've gone to. Wasn't able to make it, but super, super, super excited for it. Once again, they have, I believe, c4wrestling.com is where you can get tickets.
You go to Vertigo and
Vertigo Records
or Odds and Sods Shop and or another place. But if you go to their Facebook page or look at their Twitter, they have all the details on where to find tickets.
No, absolutely. No, so sure. Very excited for that show. It's coming up very, very soon. Next week's podcast, we'll probably go over that lineup as well. We'll be able to go over the lineup of the matches to come. And then, of course, the week after that, we'll go over the results and our experience. And, you know, maybe we'll try to videotape a couple things and not give too many spoilers in the moment, but just document our time. Outside of that, one last piece is obviously this past week we lost a legend, a Hall of Famer. King Kong Bundy has passed away. So from Kyle and I here from 613 Wrestling, we send our condolences to the family and friends of King Kong Bundy. For me, you know, King Kong Bundy was always, you know, even though, you know, it's been a long time since he's been at the height of his career, but I always remember, you know, WrestleMania 2, Hulk Hogan, King Kong Bundy, you know, main event, you know, steel cage match. That was always a really, really, really big thing for me. So, definitely remembering the times. And if you don't know King Kong Bundy, definitely YouTube, check him out on the WWE Network. Lots and lots of matches. You can go back in the archive and inform yourself and educate yourself on one of the best big men of all time. I think that's it for us tonight. And, you know, thank you guys for listening. Once again, you can check us out on our social media at 613 Wrestling on Twitter, 613 Wrestling on Instagram, as well as very recently, Kyle has put out more WWE 2K19 simulations on our YouTube channel, which is also 613 Wrestling, shocker. He put out a couple of videos going over Fastlane predictions, one of them for the WWE Women's Tag Championship and also the SmackDown Women's Championship match. Kyle, how was recording that?
So far, so good. I'll finish off the rest of them tomorrow, being Friday, the 8th of March. So it'll all be done in time for you guys just to get an idea of what W2K19 thinks is going to happen. And then you can see if it happens in real life.
Yeah, and also too, you know, one thing, guys, is as we, we slowly grow here, you know, for the people who do watch, you know, favorite and, you know, support us, we can't thank you guys enough. You know, we don't do this necessarily to get all the views and all the subscribers, but, you know, Kyle and I are just two, you know, good friends that love wrestling and we just love jabbering about it. So whatever you would like to see, please let us know. You can hit us up on any platform of our social media. If you want to see a certain watch along, a certain video you want us to make, you know, get a certain take on any topic you want, please hit us up because we'd love to provide content that you guys want to listen to as well. So once again, thank you so much, guys. I hope you have a good weekend coming up. And once again, my name is Mark.
I'm Kyle.
And hope you have a great day. Thank you so much, guys.
Take it easy.
C4. 613 Wrestling.